John, very much. Thank you, everybody, as well, for the welcome. I always love coming here because it was really my home, my Christian home, years ago when I was a medical student. And so it was eventually for Jeff. Jeff really got saved through, I believe, really the prayers and ministry of this church. So we have a lot of history with you all here. So although most faces are new, I have to admit, not all, but some. And thank you as well for asking me to share about Medcare. As John said, for those of you who don't know, we work with seriously deprived and sick and often malnourished children living in extreme poverty in rural Uganda. And I'm asking that the slide, will the slides up yet? Technical difficulty, great. Right, I'll carry on anyway, they'll catch me up. Our children's medical centre is called Wellspring, and it's always very busy with 12,000 children a year now coming to us for assistance. Some of these children have normal childhood illnesses, such as ear and throat infections, the sort of things we take our children to the GP for. Many present with malaria, the biggest killer of Ugandan children, of course. In fact, the majority, probably, of the children who come through our doors every week do suffer from malaria, a huge number. The children as well in our area are often very malnourished, and sometimes through neglect, but mainly in a way due to their extreme poverty. Still got something up. All the children we see are affected by AIDS, and many of them are born HIV positive and will eventually go on to develop AIDS. So we see a huge amount of AIDS amongst the children as well. And in addition to this, we see a lot of disabled children, children with physical disabilities. And these children are often thought of as cursed and abandoned and like a wasteful life, if you like, by people in their communities. And they're often, not always, you do get some very caring guardians of the children, but so often these children are abandoned and neglected by their families and by their communities. And the other problem we have that so often, because of the poverty, it's sometimes difficult to get into the medical centre because of financial reasons, it's too far to come to us. It isn't so much a problem when they get there. If they're very, very poor and can't pay, then we have a special social fund. So the actual act of getting to us is expensive for them because they have such... Oh, you have got some. If we get on to slide three. There we go. That's the medical centre. I have to be careful turning around. I just must mention this to you in case I suddenly fall over because I'm actually suffering from labyrinthitis this morning, which is why I didn't stand up during the worship. Right, so I'm being a bit careful turning around. When the guardians bring the children into the medical centre, one big problem we have is that often they are very far advanced in whatever illness they have. And this, of course, creates enormous problems for us and can actually result in chronic illness and severe chronic illness and death, of course. So that is a very big problem that we try and overcome in many different ways over there. Now, I could talk about the various children, all morning, but actually I want to share with you one story this morning. And it's a remarkable story about one little Ugandan boy, a child who God has great plans for, but who in the eyes of the world had no hope and no future. And his story is a perfect example of God's love for a suffering world and emphasizes the mission which God has given to Medcare, to care for the sick and the needy, in particular, the children whom he loves so much. And in by caring for them, sharing Jesus with these children. To begin with, slide four, please. I want to share with you a passage from Deuteronomy, where Moses is trying to encourage the children of Israel. So it's Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you've done. He has watched your every step through this great wilderness. During these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. Now, the laws of geometry teach us that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And when we consider people taking a journey, it's interesting to see how different people will take different routes to the same destinations for differing reasons. For example, you can apparently get on the motor, this seems a very short distance time to me, you can apparently go from Manchester Airport to Heathrow Airport, or sort of from here to London if you like, in 2 hours, 48 minutes. I think you must be breaking a few speed limits to do that, perfectly honest. That's what the AA says. However, I think some of the routes actually said 3 hours plus, which sounds a bit more logical. However, if you want to go on a more circuitous route, you want to avoid motorways and toll roads and that sort of thing, you enjoy looking at the countryside instead of looking at sort of concrete, tarmac roads and concrete, then it could take you, 4 or 5 hours, couldn't it? However, if you want, the other thing as well is sometimes, while the initial directions for a journey may seem straightforward, we're often rerouted to adapt to external factors like traffic and bad weather and accidents, of course, stopping for petrol, children needing to stop, all that sort of thing. And seldom are we able to travel in a straight line, in a direct, non-stop path. I know I often wish I could travel as the crow flies, but I'm afraid in this country it's virtually impossible unless you're a crow. So we read in Exodus a little bit more about the journey of the Israelites from Egypt to the Promised Land. The Israelites travelled far further than they needed. Their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land took 40 years instead of approximately 14 days. Taking even 1 year to walk from eastern Egypt to Israel would be considered bad navigating. The Israelite satnav was a pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night, wasn't it? And God was leading them through the desert. God had promised them victory. The land he commanded them to go in and take was, in fact, already theirs. They simply had to trust and obey. But, of course, as we know, they didn't do this. And from the very beginning of the journey, the people complained and sinned against God, refusing to trust him and to obey all his instructions. And in the end, after wandering for 40 years, only Joshua and Caleb, thank you, John, from the original Israelites who escaped from Egypt, they were the only ones who entered into the Promised Land, together with the new generation of Israelites who were born on the way there. What the Israelites didn't seem to understand was that God will never lead us where his grace cannot provide for us or his power cannot protect us. The Israelites had seen the powerful hand of God at work during the plagues and the miracles of the Exodus, and they were always talking about the passage through the river, Red Sea. Yet, like many people, they walked by sight and not by faith, and their unbelief displeased God. In Hebrews 11 verse 6 it tells us, without faith it's impossible to please God, and their failure to believe in God's word kept them from entering the Promised Land. Whenever we go on a journey to a previously unvisited destination, we can meet many challenges, including anxiety and uncertainty. And this is a struggle that many people face at times, a reluctance to try something new, to veer off into uncharted territory, to stray from our comfort zones, not willing to take the risk of travelling a path that is less familiar or comfortable. In 2004, I travelled to Uganda for the first time, and in doing so, I completely stepped out of my comfort zone and had to rely on God for every single minute. I travelled on that first journey with people I didn't know. On my way home, I travelled back on my own, which I found daunting at the time. And this slide is the very first photo I took in Uganda. I was so overwhelmed at the number of beautiful, smiling children, all clapping welcome, about 1,500 of them from these schools, that I could hardly see for tears, to be quite honest. And so I just turned around quickly and snapped the shot and then looked back again so they wouldn't see how overcome I was. Everything about Uganda, where I work in Uganda, was completely alien to my life in the UK. Everything really, where I was working. And I can honestly say that I had no idea what I would find at the end of that first journey or my journey since, and what God had planned for the following 12 years. If I'd known, I might never have gone, perfectly honest. My grandmother wrote this text in the front of my Bible when I was 10 years old. It was from Joshua 1, verse 7 to 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continuously. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And at the age of 14, when I was baptized, and the people who were baptizing me didn't know about that original text, I received the following verse as my baptismal text, Joshua 1, verse 9. This is my command. Be strong and very courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, my work in Uganda, I can honestly say, has been at times extremely hard. I've often felt frightened. I've often felt alone and very overwhelmed. But I've been so very privileged to experience and observe God's very great love for his world, in particular the children, and so obviously for those who are suffering. In fact, on that very first day when I was waiting in the airport for 8 hours to travel home, I remember, very first visit, I remember God saying very clearly to me, "Now you have seen my heart for my world." And I've seen as well miraculous things in many lives. I've always been able to fall back on his words of encouragement given to me all those years before. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It has been a complete privilege to be able to work this way with the Lord in Uganda. Every day we're all on a journey, and each journey is individual to each person. And that journey is the journey of life. And some of you here may have heard or read about the story of baby Johnson, Johnson's journey, as I've called it, and the miraculous story of this one little Ugandan boy. From his story, I think we can learn many things to encourage us in our own personal life's journey, as well as maybe understand more of God's great love and compassion for a suffering world. Johnson's journey actually began thousands of years ago, when God ordained that this little child would be born to Proskovia and Joseph, a Ugandan couple living in Masaka in desperate poverty. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." And Ephesians 1, verse 4, "Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us." God planned your birth even before the world began. In the eyes of God, you are much older than you think or feel today. You see, each of us is special and unique, and every one of us is loved by God with the love of a father for his children. Now, I put this slide up because I know, as a mother and grandmother, that I love each of my children very much, to the moon and back, as my granddaughter Amelia often says. But I also love them equally, although they're very different. No one is loved more or less. I'll tell you who they are, shall I? At the very, I won't do that. At the very top is our daughter Becky and her husband Nolan, Charlie, our eldest grandson, who's 9, and Amelia, the only granddaughter, she's not very pleased about that, who is 7. And then this side is Amy, married to James, with Nathan, aged 3 and a half, nearly 4 actually, and Luke, who's 2, and they are just as wicked as they look on that photograph. And then at the bottom, to your left, is our son Rick and his wife Daisy, and their little baby Isaac, who's 8 months old. And then Josie, our youngest daughter, and Chris, and baby Solomon, who was also 8 months old, and Isaac and Sully were both born on the same day, which saves me remembering another birthday, which is good. But each of these, all of them, my sons-in-law, daughter-in-law, grandchildren, children, they're all my children, each one is loved equally, okay? And God loves no one person more or less than another. God's love encompasses everyone who has ever been born and anyone yet to be born. If for any reason today you're feeling a failure or feeling a bit worthless or you can't see the point of your life, sadly sometimes people feel that way. But you should remember these words. Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose you to be his very own. And I hope that makes everyone feel very special here this morning. But not all journeys are easy ones, and tragedies can be met along the way. And this was the case for baby Johnson, because he was born with a very serious heart defect called Fallot's tetralogy. Johnson was born with 4 heart defects, and this is rather medical, I'll grant you, an overriding aorta, pulmonary stenosis, ventricular septal defect, and right ventricular hypertrophy. This condition causes the blood to have low oxygen levels, oxygen being the essential ingredient for health and life. And these children are often called blue babies, and you can see, because of cyanosis and because of lack of oxygen, you can see evidence of this around Johnson's mouth. Not always easy to see on a child with a dark skin, but it was very obvious around his mouth and his nose for Johnson. For 2 years, Proskovia watched her little boy suffer with delayed developmental milestones, difficulty feeding, shortness of breath and exertion, unable to talk or walk like other 2-year-olds because he simply didn't have the energy or the breath. Sometimes he developed severe attacks of breathlessness when he gasped for breath and turned blue, and each of these episodes put his life increasingly at risk. Although his mother and father took him regularly to the Ugandan Heart Institute for assistance, his condition became worse, and they eventually used up all of their savings, all of their life savings. They were very, very poor. At this point, as soon as the money ran out, the doctors told them there was nothing that could be done for their little son. The child would eventually die an unpleasant death as a result of his congenital heart defects. There was nothing more to be done. Now, to most people in the world, apart from his parents, Johnson wasn't a concern. What does one small child hidden in the depths of the African continent matter? Why should we be concerned about this child when there are millions more suffering around the world and maybe on our own doorsteps? It would seem that the death of baby Johnson would make no impact on the world today. In your own life's journey, have you ever come across, I'm sure you have, an obstacle which seemed to have no way around it, something you couldn't move, something you had no control over, something maybe a little daunting, causing anxiety and fear, maybe an illness, maybe loss of a loved one, a change in jobs, a need to change where you live. Many things in life cause us to become anxious and fearful. And maybe some of you might be at a point like that now. In life, there are many uncertainties, but one person who remains constant and never changes is, of course, our Father God. Malachi 3, verse 6, I am the Lord and I do not change. And in Psalm 102, the psalmist says this about God. Long ago you laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will change them like a garment and discard them. But you are always the same. You will live forever. And then I want to put this slide up. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible from it. Hebrews 6, verse 17 to 18. God also bound himself with an oath. This is from the New Living Translation, I think. So that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Has God ever given you a promise? Maybe he has, and you've seen the fulfillment of that promise. Maybe he's given you a promise and you've never really seen that promise come to pass. If that's the case, just keep reading Hebrews 6. Keep reading it. It's impossible, excuse me, for God to tell a lie. Remind your Heavenly Father of the promises to you and stand firm in the belief that they will come to pass, because God cannot and will not tell a lie ever. I mentioned earlier that the death of one small African child would have no impact on the world today, but of course such a death would have an enormous impact in the heavenly realms, because this child was made in God's image and Jesus died for him. God had special plans for Johnson. Now, I was told about the final message from the Ugandan doctors about Johnson in August last year. And for some reason, I hadn't met him at this point, but for some reason, I couldn't get his name out of my head. And I decided to research his condition as a doctor and to see how such, because we don't come across that many children with this sort of condition, and to see how such a child nowadays, in this day and age, can be assisted in the so-called developed world, i.e. the UK. And I also looked up to see how children were cared for in Uganda. And I found out that surgery at a very young age, usually, could be successful and life-changing for such children. Normally, they are diagnosed very, very early. Although I must admit, they knew about Johnson's condition within a couple of months of his birth. But Uganda doesn't have the skills or the equipment to take up on such a task. I travelled to Uganda in September on one of my team visits, and I decided one day that I'll go and see Johnson to see where he lives, to see the degree of his poverty, to see if there's anything that we can do more for him. And when we reached the room in which they lived, all we could hear was this dreadful, rasping breathing, very, very rapid breathing, so rapid I can't even reproduce it myself by panting hard enough. And he was blue, he was distressed, he was in his mother's arms, throwing himself, thrashing about, and he was dying, literally, in front of us. I turned round to the team I was with. I said, this child's dying. He needs to go to hospital now. And they said, well, the father refuses to take him to hospital. He's been told there's nothing they can do, and he's run out of money. So what can he do? He's just going to have to die. And nothing happens by chance when you're working for the Lord. He obviously, I totally believe, he took us to his house at that moment in that day, in that year. And also, at that point, I just suddenly became convinced that we were going to have to do something about this child. And I committed to taking over all of Johnson's care, including the finances he would need to save his life, there and then on the spot. It isn't something I do as chairman of a charity every child I see. We see a lot of desperately sick children. And we do see, sadly, children dying who shouldn't die. But at this point, and obviously as a charity, we cannot always say that we'll do that in its completeness for a child with such a severe problem. But I was convinced we had to do it at that time. So we took Johnson in our taxi, with the permission of his parents, obviously, to the hospital nearby, admitted him to hospital, had to fight the doctors a bit. They hadn't got the proper equipment for him, even to have an oxygen mask for a child, so they had to sort of cobble up some tubes for him. But eventually he survived that episode, and he gradually recovered, and he went back home. But Johnson needed a miracle to survive, because each time he went into one of those attacks, he could die. Do you believe in miracles? I hope you all do, because I know I do. And you know, I don't believe in miracles just because I've seen them, which I have, and that not just in Uganda, and not only because I've experienced them, which I have, and not only because I've read about them, and not just because Jesus taught us that we could perform miracles in his name if we trust in him. I believe in miracles because I know the nature of my Heavenly Father. He's a God of compassion, a God of encouragement, a God of healing. He sacrificed his own son so we might be healed and so that we might live a victorious life. He never changes. He never tells a lie. He's a God of miracles today, as he's always been. And Johnson's journey is yet another tale of God's compassion and miraculous hand of healing. 2 weeks, so miracle number one, if you like. Well, maybe miracle number one was a visit. And miracle number two, 2 weeks after my visit to Johnson's home, I was contacted by a Christian American charity called Morning Star Foundation. I had never heard of them before. I felt there was nothing whatsoever that we could do for Johnson. I knew that as a charity, I knew he had to go abroad to be helped, but I knew it would be far too complicated for our charity to deal with it. It's all to do with customs and the flights and where does he go, and you can imagine it's an enormous task to send a child abroad from a country like Uganda for surgery. But I was contacted by Morning Star, and they work together with local grassroots organizations throughout Uganda to identify needy children with congenital and acquired heart disease who will die without treatment. Miracle. I was like, wow, this is good. Many children in Uganda with heart disease, as I said, have to travel overseas, particularly to receive open heart surgery. And Morning Star's goal is to provide the best medical care possible to each child, regardless of the cost. It's a lovely Christian charity. And this seemed like a wonderful, God-given opportunity for Johnson. But obstacle number, whatever it would be in his life, Johnson's life, Morning Star had inevitably run out of money. And they were very honest with me and said, we have no money to send him. And Johnson's condition was so precarious, I knew that any surgery should be undertaken as an urgency. At that point, as the chairman of the charity, I officially committed our charity to fund for such surgery with the assistance of Morning Star. At whatever the cost, and I set up an appeal in the UK and USA, I think many of you know about it, and also we've had very generous gifts from here, in fact, to assist with this child surgery. It was estimated that £10,000 would be needed to change this child's life. The advantage, though, was that Morning Star sent children to Bangalore and India to one of the best pediatric cardiac surgery units in the world, with I think it's 65 or 75 pediatric intensive care beds in that surgery. And they have, I think it's 10 or 12 pediatric cardiac surgeons. It's enormous, this hospital, Narayana Hospital in Bangalore. And when I read about it, because I thought, well, they're having some. Why should I send him to India? You know, I'd be having a son. I had thought, I'd better investigate. And I discovered this fact. And I was so praising God. Because I said, well, not only has he brought Morning Star to us. We had not the money at this point, of course. But he also directed us to the best hospital in the world. That's how much he cares for a child on the African continent. Which is absolutely thrilling. Now, at this time, many people doubted the wisdom of spending so much money on one small child. £10,000 could assist and maybe even save many young lives in Uganda. £10,000 is one quarter of the funds needed by the Wellspring Medical Centre to care for over 12,000 children every year. Why put all these resources into the care of one little boy? I had many conversations about this. However, Medcare has learned that the needs of the children we serve are so serious and so numerous that a vision for the care of the individual child is the only way forward. Because every life is precious, every life is special, every life matters, every life has a plan and a purpose in this world. Each life has been created by God and for God, and this includes your lives and mine and the lives of those we love, and those we live near, those we work with, those we pass in the street. Interestingly, one thing I'm often quoting for Medcare is that no price is too high, and no task is too hard, no price is too high to save the life of a child. It's written all over our website. And at this point, we have to put our money where our mouth was. We were told that Jesus put out his hands in blessing on the heads of children he met. We know that children are very special to him. And we're also told this, This is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Every life has a plan and a purpose in this world and in the eyes of God. Can I ask you, what are God's plans for your life, on your life journey, wherever you are on it, at whatever age? You may already know them and you're walking in them, but maybe you've got no idea. Maybe your journey's been hard with many obstacles to be overcome. If this is the case, you need to meditate on these words from Jeremiah, because this is one of the many promises of God to you. And remember, God cannot tell a lie. He never goes back on his word. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. He doesn't promise a life of ease with no troubles, but he does promise us a life to the full and promises to walk with us every step of life's journey, if we will ask him to. When you look back at your life's journey so far, do you see a straightforward path through the years? I doubt it, because at some stage we all stray off the path that God has set for us. Isaiah 53:6 says it very clearly. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's why Jesus came and died for us, because each of us has strayed off the path that God has set for us before the world began. But back to the story of baby Johnson. Johnson, in God's arms, defied all the predictions of his family and his doctors. For a further four months after my first contact with Morning Star, so that was September last year, he struggled with more and more of those near-death experiences and much suffering. He used to go backwards and forwards to Kampala, to the Heart Institute that we were paying at that point. But again, they did nothing but save his life at that moment and then send him home. A terrible, terrible time for his parents, watching this child, knowing that he could die at any minute. And then the worst thing that seemed to happen over Christmas, he was suddenly admitted. He was rushed in an ambulance, most unusual in Uganda, from Masaka to Kampala, unconscious. He was put on life support. It was discovered he had meningitis, on top of everything else he had wrong with him, and encephalitis, and he was unconscious, and he was fitting. And we thought, well, even if he recovers, he may not be a sort of child who's a suitable candidate for surgery anymore if his brain is going to be damaged. Interestingly, when he was on intensive care, all the children on intensive care with him at that time, at that week he was on intensive care, they all died except Johnson. Unfortunately, this is the way, the extreme cases that we see in Uganda. But Johnson survived. And many prayers were made worldwide for this little child every day. Doctors in Kampala prayed daily around his bedside. I wish we could do that. We're not allowed in this country, but it's brilliant to be able to do that. Not openly, anyway. God had convinced me that he had a perfect plan for Johnson and that he would be healed. And the greater the obstacles that had to be overcome, the greater my belief. And so we kept on praying for this little boy. And in the end, thousands of people were praying for him all over the world. Morning Star used the whole of their, and they're a much bigger charity than us, of course, the whole of their contacts group to pray for Johnson. Amazing. One little boy. And then miraculously, at the end of January, Johnson's condition stabilised, because we couldn't even buy tickets for him to go to Narayana, and we couldn't get them to accept him until we could send reports that said he was fit enough for surgery. Never mind the flight, if you think about it. On Wednesday the 3rd of February, Johnson and his mother and one of our nurses and another intensive care nurse flew to Bangalore, India. During that flight, we all prayed that day. He was given oxygen on the flight, and during that flight, he didn't have one of these TET attacks, these severe attacks. He wasn't distressed, because stress can bring it on, despite the fact he'd never been outside of a Kampala. It's the biggest city he'd ever seen. None of the Africans or the Ugandans who travelled with him had ever been on a plane, never mind gone through Dubai Airport, which must have been a real eye before they got to Bangalore. They all managed to get through it without too much stress. And then he underwent open heart surgery 6 days later. Now, the surgeons, who were very, very experienced men and women, were uncertain as to the outcome of his surgery. He had an attack before surgery, one of these bad attacks, and they admitted him from the ward onto intensive care. And at that point, they decided to send him to surgery much earlier than they had anticipated. But they warned his mother that she had to agree to surgery because there was a 50-50 chance that he would survive at all. And that if he did survive, he would end up on intensive care for at least 2 weeks and maybe a number of months, which financially would have been a big burden for us, a number of months in India. God had had enough of this child's suffering, I believe, at this point. He returned from the theatre into intensive care as normal, on life support. Life support was turned off very quickly, within 12 hours. He regained consciousness. Within 2 days after his surgery, he was so well, they put him back on the ward, main ward. He was taken off oxygen within 3 days, and within 2 weeks, he'd gone home. If that isn't a miracle, amazing, isn't it? And it's wonderful to see his parents' faces. I wasn't there. I was meant to be there, actually, when he arrived at Uganda, but I was delayed in Dubai, interestingly. And but I saw him the following day, and we had a little bit of a party at their house. And I have never seen parents so overjoyed. You thought the child was born all over again, really. That's probably what it was like, wasn't it, for them? And in fact, he's had repeated tests since, because he's had follow-up. And all of the tests on his heart are completely and utterly normal. And now we have to, now Johnson needs continued prayers. I know that God is doing this for him. He's being sponsored. He's also being cared for by the medical centre. He goes for physiotherapy every day because he can't walk yet. He's never learnt to walk, and he's 2 and a half. And so he has to learn to walk. You can't just automatically walk. And so I hope maybe next time I come here, I might be able to show you a video of him running about, because that is what I'm looking forward to seeing. And he will. There is no reason why not. And I believe the witness of Johnson's story is the important thing. I believe this is why it was so important we spent this money on this child, for his sake as well, obviously. But God had a huge plan here, and his witness, I believe, will direct others to the knowledge of a God who cares, a God of miracles, and a God who provides hope and blessing in the most difficult of circumstances. I've never read this before from the Message Bible, but Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8 in the Message, it shows it very clearly. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road, talking about our journey. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eye. He wants each of us to find the path which he has chosen for us. Through the work of Medcare in Uganda, God has changed the life journeys of many young Ugandan children. Children such as Alex is on this list here, Emmanuel, Josephine, Dorothy, Julius, Tracy, Ida, Victoria, Anthony, Isaac, Maria, Harriet, and many, many, many more children. Their lives are now full of love and joy and encouragement, direction and hope. Jesus walks with them, I believe, daily in the villages where they live. And Jesus wants each of us also to find the path which he's chosen for us. And he wants to travel with us every step of the way. If you're at a crossroads in your life, ask him for guidance. If you're tempted to go the apparent easy route, where there are dangers of being drawn even further from him, then ask for faith and strength to follow the path of his choosing. If you're already on the wrong path, without Jesus to guide you, then ask his forgiveness and he'll direct you onto his perfect path for you. He doesn't promise the path will be easy. There may be hard work to negotiate. There may be many thorns and rocks, if you like, in your way. There may even be dangers where we'll need to exert all our faith in our Heavenly Father. But one thing we can be certain of, if we follow the path of God's choosing, there will be joys and wonder and rewards to encourage us every step of the way. I love The Lion King as a Disney film. I love the music from The Lion King, particularly Elton John's song, The Circle of Life. And the very first words of that song say this: "From the day we arrive on the planet and blinking step into the sun, there's more to be seen than can ever be seen, more to do than can ever be done." God has proved this to me over the years. There is indeed so much to do in this world, more than we can possibly imagine. So many people need to know the love and compassion of Jesus in their lives. Many, many need miracles. Many just need the basics of life: food, water, shelter, medicines. We need to make sure that we're on the path of God's choosing so we can work with him, bringing hope into a world with so much need. However, although I love the song, The Circle of Life, I don't actually agree with the fundamental story of the circle of life. Because one thing is certain: God doesn't want us to follow a path which ends up as a circle when we eventually come back to where we begin. The path of his choosing may be narrow, may be sometimes rough and difficult to negotiate, but they are straight, life-transforming and immensely rewarding, and finally lead us to a destination which is so beautiful it's unimaginable. And when we reach the end of our journeys, we'll walk into a land of indescribable beauty and peace, a land where there's no more tears, no more suffering, no more ugliness, no more darkness. And there our journey will begin again, as it were. Or maybe we should say it will carry on. Here God will be our light and Jesus our constant companion. Revelation 21, obviously, we read about where our earthly journey ends and our new journey begins. John said he saw heaven and earth newly created. "I heard a voice thunder from the throne. Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. They're his people, he's their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good, tears gone, crying gone, pain gone. All the first order of things gone." The enthroned continued, "Look, I am making everything new." It may be that God is challenging you today to step out of your comfort zone, to ask him with obedient hearts to put you on the path of his choosing, wherever he may lead you. Remember, Jesus gave us this great commission: go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All of us are commanded to share the good news of Jesus Christ. First of all, at home with our families, because that's where he's put us. With our neighbours and work colleagues, so that's where he's put us, to share the good news. Also here in the Greater Manchester area, in Salford, or wherever around here, he has put this church here for a purpose, to share the good news to the people in this area. That is the commission he's given us here. But it also could be that God is calling you nationwide in the UK as a person, or even further afield to Africa or India or the Amazon jungle or war-torn areas of the world, maybe. I never dreamt I would one day work in Africa. I never even imagined I would find in Uganda such evidence of God's love for this world. I was 54 years old when he first called me there. So whatever age, be open to God's calling on your life. He will never disappoint you and never forsake you. And just to finish, in Revelation, we continue to read about our heavenly home. I love reading these descriptions of heaven. I think it's worth reminding us where our path is leading us to. John was taken away in the spirit to an enormous high mountain and was shown the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, resplendent in the bright glory of God. The city shimmered like a precious gem, light-filled, pulsing light. She had a wall majestic and high with 12 gates. At each gate stood an angel. The wall was set on 12 foundations and was jasper, the colour of glory. And the city was pure gold, translucent as glass. The foundations of the city walls were garnished with every precious gem imaginable. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate a single pearl. The main street of the city was pure gold, translucent as glass. But there was no sign of a temple, For the Lord God, the Sovereign Strong, and the Lamb are the temple. The city doesn't need sun or moon for light. God's glory is its light, the Lamb its lamp. The nations will walk in its light, and earth's kings bring in their splendor. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there won't be any night. A very brief picture of heaven, a tiny glimpse of how fantastic and glorious it's going to be when we reach our home in heaven. The home we'll share with our Father God and our Saviour Jesus at the end of our journey on earth. An amazing hope. What a home to look forward to. And meanwhile, as we set our face towards heaven, we can joyfully walk the path of life that God has ordained for each one of us, travelling on our journey with our Saviour and friend Jesus, never alone, never afraid, never despairing, with a joy and hope in our hearts. Now, as John has mentioned, throughout the month of May, Mount Chapel have and beyond, obviously from what you've said, Mount Chapel have decided to support Medcare in their Medcare May campaign. And the aim of the activities of this month around the country are to raise awareness of the needs of children in Uganda and the work of Medcare. But also, more importantly, I believe, to share with others the wonderful, compassionate God whom we serve. I understand, John has already put up some of the activities that you're going to hold, and have already held, thank you. But throughout May, maybe take the opportunity to share the story of Baby Johnson. I've got some, I've printed off copies and I can send you more. You can get it off the website as well. Take those story home and read it and share it with your family. Share this. It is a miraculous story. Share the story with other people, people at work. And share with them how God has changed the path of his life from one of despair and suffering to one of hope and joy and health. That would be the best thing for us to do in Medcare May, in my opinion. And to share the even more amazing story, obviously, of how Jesus, God's only Son, came to earth to die for each one of us because of God's very great love for us all. And I pray that everyone here this morning will themselves find the path which God has set out for them before the world began. And whatever it is that God calls you to do, and wherever you go, remember these words: be strong and very courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, we're hoping that we're going to play a very, it's very short now, because otherwise your Sunday lunch will be burning. A very, very short video, just to conclude.